Company, 102.5, 106.3 The Game, streaming live on Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, and Facebook Live, live from the Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Studios. So I think that Titan fans have not gotten enough credit. Especially, not that the football people would say this one way or another, but you know how football people get? And I'm talking about the football people. Every time we lose, everybody's got to get fired. And every time we win, we're headed on to the Super Bowl. What? Spin their little dip cup. You know, every time, right? Every time, I'll tell you, those fans, they don't understand what it's like being a football guy. But I got to give the Titan fans some serious credit here, because I think the Titan fans are living in the perfect headspace after the Cincinnati blowout win going into the Colts game. Now, I am hesitant to completely believe that every Titan fan is feeling this way, but I do feel 2 days after of taking your phone calls and your text messages and talking to, you know, all of my friends that went to the game, that watched the game, was at the gym today talking to everybody about the game, I feel like Titan fans are approaching the Bengals blowout win the right way. Because you get blown out the way you got blown out against the Cleveland Browns, and it's like the sky is falling, the team stinks, the coach is a mess, the line is horrible, the game plan was awful, and we did, we moaned and kvetched, and we went crazy for a week. Then they come out and do the exact opposite to the Bengals. And yet, I don't hear Titan fans getting carried away with that. And I think Titan fans, and this is where they should get some credit, because Titan fans over the years have said and done some pretty crazy things. But I think Titan fans look at that Bengals win, and they kind of take it with a massive grain of salt. I think there's some satisfaction that we learned that the Titans can put together a good ball game, and that the Titans got back to 2-2, and that the Titans, you know, showed signs of life on offense, and that they really put it to the Bengals. But I also think Titan fans look at it like one of two ways. Either one, the winning 27-3 only makes up for the losing 27-3. So it's like you lost 27-3 and you win 27-3, so now you're back to even. So normally, if you just won 27-3, independent of a 27-3 loss, the fans would be, oh, Jared, we're going to the Super Bowl. Oh, my God, look at this team. They're so good. Oh, they dominated. They're the best. And instead, it's like, well, hey, we saw on one hand, you know, you get your butt kicked, and then you go out there and you do the butt kicking again. You're net zero. I think the other thing, too, is Titan fans realize Joe Burrow's got a bad calf. And that, you know, it's like the text line the other day. You know, you get the one texter in there that uses quotation marks around the word hurt when it comes to Joe Burrow. And then we get, you know, a mass just waterfall of text messages talking about how, of course, Joe Burrow was hurt. He shouldn't have even played in the game on Sunday. I would trade whatever it takes to get Joe Burrow, even though Joe Burrow clearly is not right with that calf. I mean, and again, we all like it when our team does well. But we all know how good Joe Burrow is. And we know that what we saw on Sunday, that's not Joe Burrow. So Titan fans are not getting carried away over the win. Titan fans are recognizing that when they block, when they catch, when they get open, when they tackle, when they do the things that are fundamental to football, they actually have a pretty decent team. And I think that that's good. Because as far as the team should be concerned and all of us, none of what happened against the Bengals matter if you don't beat the Colts on Sunday. You know, this Colts game is a game that the Titans absolutely should not lose. I've watched the Colts tape. I know what the Colts are good at. I know what the Colts are bad at. The Colts have some serious weaknesses. And yet, again, having the Titans in the right headspace, knowing the Titans the way that we know them, I'll just tell you right now, if the Titans go to Indianapolis and they run the ball well, and they protect Tannehill, and they catch it when he throws it to them, and they sack the quarterback, which is going to be harder than it, I mean, harder than Watson, who broke all those sacks, because this guy's more elusive than Watson. And they don't give up big plays, and they don't fumble punts, and they don't do stupid things that get you beat. If the Titans go to Indianapolis and just do what they're supposed to do, they're going to win. If they go to Indianapolis and they play in
Titan ball,
if they play Titan ball on Sunday, they're going to win. You know, if you were going to Kansas City, I wouldn't necessarily say that. When it came to the Browns game 2 weeks ago, I was telling you, he's got to be ugly. This has got to be a rock fight. This has got to be run, 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 punt. This has got to be hope Deshaun screws up, because you can't go to Cleveland and play Titan ball. Their players are too good. Indies are not. The Colts players are not that good. So if you go to Indianapolis and you play your game, you will win on Sunday. But if you go to Indianapolis and you screw around the way you screwed around with the Saints, you're going to lose. If you let wide receivers run right by you down the field and you give up 30, 40-yard gains to Anthony Richardson, who can throw the ball out of the stadium, you're going to lose. If you get caught up in a man, and you know, you're going man-to-man and you're plastering your guy and Richardson takes off and he gets out into space like Derrick Henry, he's going to run that ball into the end zone. You're going to lose. If you go out there and you muff punts and you miss field goals and you get punts blocked and you throw interceptions and you're not on the same page and you can't get the snap count right and you single up Andre Dillard with a good, you're going to lose. And I actually think Titan fans absolutely know that about this team. That Titan fans are cautiously optimistic after Sunday's game that, hey, they've got the pieces to be a decent team. And they're playing in a division where 10 wins and winning all the division games will probably get it done. But that we also recognize the faults of the Titans. You know, there's two different kinds of people that have problems that I have to deal with on a daily basis. There are people that have problems that want to fix their problems and can look in the mirror and see their own shortcomings and realize why they have whatever issue they may have. And then there are people that are only looking for validation and are only looking to hear that they're right all the time. And sometimes with fans, especially me, who is inherently glass half empty, I get frustrated with a lot of the fans that only want to hear the good talk, that only want to be told your team's good, that only want to echo the points of the coach or the team broadcasters or whatever it may be. And that frustrates me to no end. But I don't think Titan fans feel that way about the ball club right now. I don't think Titan fans are sitting there after the game on Sunday saying, what a great game by Shane Bowen to hold the Bengals to 3 points. Because we know why the Bengals were held to 3 points. I think Titan fans can look at the way the game was officiated on Sunday and say, yeah, even though they won, the referees were just as bad as they were in the Saints game that they lost. I mean, I really feel like Titan fans have a real grip on this football team. And maybe that's just because your opinions of the team are mirroring my opinions of the team. But I didn't feel like after that Bengals win on Titans Monday, I didn't get a lot of texts about, they're going to stack all these wins and on they're going to win the division and bring on Kansas City and bring on Buffalo. And I think there's a sense of like, all right, let's move on to Indy. And this is going to be another one of those games where we hope the good Titans come out on Sunday, but we are very prepared. We know there's a chance the bad Titans will show up on Sunday as well. And I think that's the right headspace for Titan fans to be in. I think that that is exactly where this team lies. And I think, again, in a society where football people look down on football fans as if football fans don't have any idea of what they're talking about, I think the Titan fans have a pretty good feel for their team. I actually heard Paul and Joe this morning on the morning show, and they were talking about, you know, play calling. And Robbie was there, but he was more of an innocent bystander in this. But they were going over the whole, like, well, we don't really know the play calling and what's a good play call and what's not a good play call. And they know all the tendencies and the play calls and all of that. And Ian, you know what I'm talking about, like the covering for the football people. Not covering, I shouldn't say that, but just kind of the, you know, the fans and us, we don't really know what all goes into play calling, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And all I could think about was that Floyd cut of, if we go to Houston and J.J. Watt wrecks the game, somebody ought to be fired because we cannot block him with one guy. And I'm like, so explain to me the play calls on the Myles Garrett versus Andre Dillard. Explain that one to me. 615-737-1025 is our phone number, 615-737-1025, plus my initial opinion of the Colts. And my buddy Sweeney, who I worked with in Louisville, is now doing the morning show in Indianapolis. And I asked, after watching the Colts tape, some very poignant questions. We'll get to that. 615-737-1025, Stillman & Company, right here, 1025, 106.3 The Game.
You know, it's a great opportunity to go on the road. You know, I think for all of us that are trying to, you know, just improve and do, you know, ultimately win our division, you know, you're going to have to win a couple of these on the road. And so I do think it's a great opportunity. You know, everybody's bunched up in there. It's early, but great opportunity.
There you go. That was Vrabel today. So our phone lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. I have my initial thoughts on the Colts. But Indy Ben has texted in, and Indy Ben says if the Colts do what they do best and play their game like they did versus Baltimore, they should win. The same argument can be said for both teams on Sunday. Did you only watch the Rams game? That was probably the worst game the Colts have played as a team this whole season. I watched the Rams game. I did watch the end of the Ravens game, but I didn't, you know, sit there and watch it like the film. And I watched Texans game. So here's my take, Indy Ben, on your team, the Colts. I think the Colts stink. So I know they're 2-2, but I think that Baltimore game was a total fluke, and everything had to go right for the Colts in that game for them to win. Their kicker, who missed a point-blank chip shot last week, their kicker hit like 6 kicks over 50 in that game. You know, we talk about how bad the officiating is. The Ravens got absolutely jobbed on a fourth down in overtime, pass interference, non-call. When, I mean, they just draped the receiver around. Gardner Minshew played quarterback. I mean, again, not to sit here and badmouth the Colts, because I try to tell it like it is, regardless of how I feel about a team, but I thought that that was one of those games where literally everything had to go right for the Colts for them to win in overtime against the Ravens. I think the Colts stink. Anthony Richardson might have the most talent of any individual in the NFL. Like, you know how I feel about Anthony Richardson. I would have taken Anthony Richardson with the number one overall pick in the draft. I would have traded whatever it took to get to number three with Arizona to take Anthony Richardson. I liked him more than C.J. Stroud. I liked him more than Bryce Young. I liked him more than Will Levis. I liked him more than all of them. But that doesn't mean that he is a finished product by any means. He is very raw. And yeah, sure, they've got some good players on their team, but every team has good players. The Chicago Bears are the worst team in the NFL by far. And they've got DJ Moore, who's a good player. The Colts' line stinks. Their receivers stink. Their running back doesn't want to be there and hasn't taken a carry. And all the names that you know are not playing very well. Buckner, Nelson, Pittman, Leonard, the guys that are playing well, that are good players right now for the Colts, are guys like Zaire Franklin, their linebacker who makes, I think, every tackle on their team. But the names, you know, they're not producing the way that they should. I mean, there was a ball in the end zone Pittman should have caught for a touchdown on Sunday against the Rams. And the Rams, they got up 20-0, and then for some reason they just stopped throwing the ball to Puka Nacua until the game got close again. But this Colts team, they're not very good. And I talked to Sweeney in Indy, who does the morning show there, used to work with me in Louisville. And I said to Sweeney, because their defense is ranked 29th, and I think their defense kind of stinks. And I was like, you know, are my takes on the Colts fair? And Sweeney said, very fair. And he said, apparently the Colts are dealing with such a bad injury bug right now that they had a walkthrough today instead of a practice. Multiple guys on the offensive line are in concussion protocol. DeForest Buckner's on a pitch count. And Quiddy Pay, Sweeney notes, who sucks, it has a concussion as well. Quiddy Pay is not good. So I do think the Colts are well coached with Shane Steichen. And, you know, Gus Bradley, you know, he can run the defense fine, but he's nothing special. But quite frankly, Any Ben, I don't think the Colts are very good. In fact, I think they kind of stink. And if I were the Colts, the way the Colts win is by Anthony Richardson making a couple Superman plays. And he is absolutely capable of that. And as much as I dog the Colts when they stink, like last year and the year before that, I don't know how long Anthony Richardson's going to be raw for, because when I watch Anthony Richardson play, I see a little bit of Josh Allen. I see a little bit of Cam Newton. I see a little bit of Derrick Henry. I see a little bit of Mariota, how he throws the ball up the seam. I see a little bit, like, the arm. It's like, I don't know if there's a quarterback in the NFL I've seen that has such a free and easy rocket launcher like Anthony Richardson does. Maybe Mahomes. Now, Mahomes is way more accurate and it's way more fluid than it is with Richardson, but it's so free and easy. I mean, he's just got so much talent. Woo! Just so much talent. Texter says, I'm worried because Richardson looks like a legit run threat, and for some reason the Titans stink against running quarterbacks. They need Azeez Al-Shaair to ball out because he's best at running side to side. I believe the Titans will have a spy on Anthony Richardson, and that might not be good enough. I'll tell you, when Anthony Richardson, think about Derrick Henry when he catches a ball on a screen pass and Derrick gets going. Like, when Derrick catches the ball and has room to run, it's like, everybody watch out, because he's big and strong and he's just picking up speed. That's Richardson. When Richardson gets out there, it's like watching Derrick Henry. I mean, that is the kind of talent that Anthony Richardson's got. I mean, when he gets out there and goes. So I am worried about that. Texter says Richardson has a cannon like Stafford. It's so effortless. It's weird because for me, Stafford, you know, throws tight. Like, with Stafford, you know, keeps the ball tight. And his throws are, you know, kind of laser beams that are tight, that are, but with Richardson, it's like a slingshot and the ball just goes. Texter says, if we're doing comps, is Ryan Tannehill, Kerry Collins? I think you get to a point in the NFL where you've played long enough that there's not really a comparison for a veteran player, right? Like, we don't talk about who Mahomes projects to be, because we know what Mahomes is. Like, we compare Lamar Jackson to Michael Vick, but we don't do that anymore. So once you've played long enough, you kind of are who you are. And so Richardson hasn't played long enough to be who he is. And I had somebody today say to me, well, I saw Richardson in college, and I don't think he'll be a good quarterback in the NFL. I'm like, buddy, he's already a decent quarterback in the NFL. And I'll say this, too, about Richardson. And you know I can go on and on and on and on about what I think of Anthony Richardson. I mean, it was almost like, I was setting Shiva the night that the Colts drafted at number 4 overall, because I'm so tired of Peyton Manning and Andrew Luck, and now I got to deal with Anthony Richardson. But Anthony Richardson he's got so much talent that if the Colts don't mess him up, I mean, I hope I'm wrong. Whew. Chris in Lewisburg said, Jared, the Colts beat the Ravens, who some consider a contender. Yeah, I think that one was a September football fluke. Like, everything had to go their way. Like, everything had to go their way. And then they won by a field goal in overtime. And those games happen. Like, the Rams, who ended up making the divisional round of the playoffs, Jared Goff at quarterback, lost a game to the Jets, and that's why Trevor Lawrence is on the Jags and not on the Jets. Montezer says Kyler Murray has an arm that's comparable. Is Kyler Murray's arm that good, Ian?
It's an he's got a pretty good arm. I don't think it's comparable to Richardson, though.
I mean, Richardson's arm is I think Richardson's arm is...
But Murray was a baseball guy.
You know who I would compare Richardson's arm to? Like, talking about the athleticism being like Derrick Henry. You know, like, remember when Joe Flacco was young? I think maybe some of that. Wes is up next on the Colts. Been waiting patiently. Thank you for calling. What's up, Wes?
Oh, Jared, I had to call in because Indy Ben, that was the second take for the day. And his first one, I needed to get your opinion on it. He basically said that the Titans and the Colts were, I guess, the base of the same team, and that if the Titans play their absolute best and the Colts play their absolute best, that it's going to be a dogfight neck and neck. I cannot see that happening. I think if the Colts play their absolute best, the Titans play their absolute best, that the Titans win this game by a long shot. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I don't think the Titans are going to win any games by a long shot on the road this year. I mean, I don't care who they're playing. Like, I don't think they're going to beat, you know, I don't think they're beating any of these teams by a long shot. That being said, if the Titans play their best, they're better than Indianapolis. I mean, I really think if the Titans play their best, then they're better than all three of these teams in the division. And I said this yesterday on the show that right now I'd rank them after having watched the tape. I'd rank them Texans 1, Colts 2, Jags 3. And I mean that. And I think the Titans can lose to all three of these teams. And I think the Titans should beat all three of these teams. But if the Titans play their best, Indianapolis, you know, can't really stop the run. And if you can't stop the run and the Titans play their best, that means Derrick Henry's running the ball right up the middle every play. And we've seen Derrick Henry run the ball right up the middle on every play against the Colts before. And that's nothing new. Fitz will join us next on the program. We'll get his thoughts on it here on a Stillman and Company Wednesday. I almost forgot what day of the week it was. Let's talk about Twice Daily. That's right. I love Twice Daily, and you have got to be a Twice Daily loyalty member. That's right. So download the app and join their loyalty program because it pays to be a member with Twice Daily, where you'll earn points and save money with every visit. And get what you crave at Twice Daily. Made to order sandwiches, bakery, breakfast, lunch and dinner, fresh items made to go, hot drink, cold drinks, and of course stop by the beer cave to unwind with a cold one. If you're looking for convenience, Twice Daily has you covered. And if the Titans score any points in the last 2 minutes of either half, there is a free half sub the next day for all loyalty members through the app. So Monday, if you were a loyalty member, you could have gone to Twice Daily because Derrick Henry threw that touchdown pass right before the half. If this Sunday against the Colts, the Titans score in the last 2 minutes of the first half or the last 2 minutes of the second half, then you get a free half sub at Twice Daily the next day, but you got to be a loyalty member. That's Twice Daily, fresh all day. Stillman & Company, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Jason Fitz joins us, Fox Sports Radio and Yahoo Sports. All right, Fitz, I want to start with this. The Titans smoke Cincinnati 27-3. I would put Joe Burrow's health at about 30%. How much credit do the Titans get for blowing out the Bengals, or is it a huge take a grain of salt with that score?
Oh, huge is a big word, but let's be honest. I think, you know, right now what you have is bad coaching in Cincinnati, and I just can't say that loud enough. Like, they've done nothing to adjust their offense with the injuries that Joe Burrow is facing, and the calf strain, I think, is a big deal. You got to remember the chain. We all talk about this, like lower body strength and where it powers the throw. Like, they've done nothing to sort of shorten up the routes and put him in a better situation. I think it's been abysmal, the lack of adjustments by the Bengals. It's been borderline malpractice to everything that they need to accomplish, and it goes off the rails. So they would have been better off playing Jake Browning, and I can't believe I'm saying that. It's just Burrow's a shell of himself. So I still think a win's a win, and it's a dominant win, but I do think we have to acknowledge that that's not the normal version of the Bengals. Like, so I'll put a grain of salt on it. Not a win in the NFL is still a win, but there's a grain of salt on it.
Okay, the Titans get their first divisional matchup with Indianapolis this week. They're 2-2. Indianapolis is 2-2. Houston's 2-2. Jacksonville's 2-2. Jacksonville beat Indianapolis. Indianapolis beat Houston. And Houston beat Jacksonville. So what do you make of it?
I make of it that there's a lot of chaos in the division. And frankly, the good teams aren't playing as good as they should have. And the bad teams are playing better than they expect. Like, I think Houston, for example, has been far better than most people expected. C.J. Stroud immediately stepped in and just settled in. And I think Indianapolis has been a little bit of what Anthony Richardson was at college. Let's take the Gardner Minshew game out of this and just talk about AR for a second. Anthony Richardson has had a couple of games where he threw the ball really well at times and a couple of games where the coaching staff obviously doesn't trust him yet to throw the football. So it's interesting because that's reflective of some of the inconsistencies we saw in Florida and part of the reason that people said, myself included, he needs time in the NFL to develop as a passer. So there's this pot where when you've got a passer developing on the offensive side of the ball, you have to sort of accept the fact that there are going to be games where he just beats everybody and then games where he can't hit the broadside of a barn. So with that inconsistency, you'll know early on. Like if Anthony Richardson's throwing the football well early in the game, they're going to be hard to beat. And if he's not, Shane Steichen, the head coach there, is going to do a really nice job of calling design runs that put him in a situation where he has less pressure. He can roll out. He has less reads to make. I think it's important to note that Anthony Richardson on some of his passes may only have one person in the route that he's even looking at. So, you know, if you're looking at it from that standpoint, Steichen is a really good offensive coach, and the Titans are basically going to have to look at one thing. Don't let him run on you and hope he's not hot as a passer. And I think that's pretty good hope.
I think with Richardson, my thing, Fitz, is that, you know, he may throw a great pass, and then the next pass is, you know, 10 yards over somebody's head. And those inconsistencies, I think, are more mechanics and, you know, comfort and things like that over time. But the other thing, Fitz, when I watch a tape, and I know they beat the Ravens, but I think that was kind of one of those fluky September games, I don't think the Colts roster is very good. And a lot of the names that we know, like DeForest Buckner and Quentin Nelson, and they're not playing very well. And I guess I wonder, like, do the Colts have a decent team around Richardson?
No, and I think you're 1,000% right. Like, a decent team in name is not a decent team on the field. And you're right. The offensive line took a drastic step back last year, and I don't think that they've really fixed it this year. You know, and on the defensive side of the ball, they've been playing way above their heads, right? Like, I'm with you. It feels like in the course of the first few weeks when you watch the Colts, sometimes it just feels like it's a flat game for one team and the Colts are taking advantage of it. I would say the Ravens in some ways were that. They came out a little bit flat in that game, and I'm still a little bit shook at that. You know, when's the last time we saw the Ravens short on a game-winning field goal? It just never happens, right? So sometimes the football gods are kind to you, and I think the football gods have been kind to the Colts. That's one difference. If you watch the tape back on the Texans are actually playing pretty well. I think the Texans are playing much better than I expected. The Colts are finding ways to win games. So kudos to doing that, but frankly, if the belief is that the Titans are a playoff caliber team, if that's the belief for anybody listening, then you need to beat the Colts because the Colts will, I think, at some point regress to the talent level they have. They're going to be a better team than I expected, but they should not. I don't think they will be in the playoff contention when the thing ends.
It's funny. I actually agree with you on the Texans, and I think the difference with the Texans, I think the Texans, when I watch them, I think the Texans are well coached. You know, and I know everyone's going to, you know, say, well, okay, D'Amico Ryans. But I think this Bobby Slowick, the offensive coordinator that he brought with him from San Francisco, I think he might be the next guy. Like the next McDaniel, what they're doing with C.J. Stroud, Fitz, is they're developing plays to get the ball into the hands of their best offensive player, which is Nico Collins. And I am so impressed with the effort the Texans are playing with and just – how simple I feel like it's been with the quarterback. When you watch a tape on the Texans, do you see the same thing?
Yeah, 100%. You're right. And by the way, I had an interesting conversation today with an insider talking about what the reality is for defensive-minded coaches because we live in such an offensive world in the NFL. And it was presented to me that one of the unique challenges for a defensive-minded coach is that if things are going well for your team, your offensive coordinator is going to be poached constantly. So you will need a deep list of offensive coordinator hires that you feel you can bring in and it can implement your system. So that's really interesting because I agree with you. If C.J. Stroud continues to play this way, then you're going to be looking for a new offensive coordinator constantly. And that's one of the things that, as you know, covering the Titans, you get the wrong guy in there and it sets the entire organization and offense back, right? So it's one of the unique challenges. And to oversimplify the Texans, by the way, right now, I know we're only a month into the season, but the Texans right now clearly look like they got the guy. And by that, I don't just mean a coach. I mean, I think they followed the game plan. They got a coach that can come in, which is remarkable that Nick Caserio gets another chance to hire a coach, finally finds the right coach who brought in the right coordinators. They drafted the right quarterback. I think they drafted the right guy on the defensive side of the ball. So, like, they did everything the right way, and it's resulted in a drastic change, not just to wins and losses, but what they look like on the field.
Jonathan Taylor Fitz was a full participant at practice today. Does that move the needle at all for you, having not taken a carry, you know, in the preseason and in training camp and in a game, to go out there on Sunday against the Titans and their run defense?
I talked to three different people today that I think are pretty knowledgeable on it. I got two, he's going to practice, he won't play in the game. I got one, he'll play in the game. I don't think anybody even realizes right now, because he still has so much animosity towards his contract situation. I can't get a consensus on whether people really believe, healthy or not, on the roster or not, if he's going to be willing to play on Sunday. So that's step number one. Step number two is look at every one of the running backs that, you know, did not play in the preseason because of their contract situation specifically. So you had Austin Ekeler, who was angry with this contract situation, unfortunate injury for him. He's missed some time. Saquon Barkley comes in, has another ankle injury. Unfortunate for him. It's just the way it's played out. Josh Jacobs comes in and has looked absolutely out of sync. And the timing has been terrible with him in the offensive line. So in the three examples we've seen of money getting into the conversations of running backs, each of those running backs has actually struggled in the early part of the season. I don't think it would be any different. If Jonathan Taylor can come in, that's spectacular. That's great. That's wonderful. I think he's a superstar. We all know that. But I don't think, even if you look at Alvin Kamara's biggest difference with the Saints in his first game back from his suspension was really his ability to take target share as a receiver as much as anything. He ran the ball okay. Like, I just think we have to understand that when you talk about the running game, it's not just about the running back. It's about the timing between the running back and the offensive line and the communication everybody has in that process. That timing takes reps. So even if he plays, I don't think he's a factor.
Fitz, what do you make of the situation going on right now in Jacksonville? And how would you rank the three AFC South teams other than the Titans? In fact, you know what? Rank the four. They're all 2-2. Rank the four. Throw the Titans in there. How would you rank them?
So I'm going to still put the Colts. I believe that the Colts are the least talented roster, and I believe that the Colts are going to be too up and down this year for me to have a lot of trust for them. So I'll put the Colts at four right now. I struggle at 2 and 3. Man, this is tough because I think the Texans are far better than people expected them to be. And based just on what we've seen this year, not based on potential anywhere, but just on what we've seen this year, I think the Texans might belong at number one in this division. I think the Jags are an epic disappointment at this point at two, and they got to clean a lot of things up. I talked to my buddy that covers them down with the Jags, and I asked him, hey, what's wrong? And he said, everything. There's nothing that this team does well that they usually do well. I think by the end of the year, they get it fixed, you know what I mean? But right now, if we're just based on what we've seen so far, I'm going to go 1 Texans, 2 Jags, 3 Titans, Colts 4. And that largely the Titans would be so much higher if I could have any trust in their offensive line. I feel like every week when I do my shows with Yahoo, Frank Schwab and I argued so much about the Titans coming into the season. And the main thing he said repeatedly is, like, if that offensive line is not better, you cannot trust them to win football games. And so I feel like every other week we have an argument about the Titans, because every other week the offensive line either looks putrid or okay. So, like, there's so little trust right there for the O-line for me. That's the thing that just, man, if the Titans could even get just middle of the pack, just like have the number 13 offensive line in the league, just not by Pro Football Focus, but like you're watching, like it's the middle of the pack. If they could just do that, then it's a playoff caliber team. I just don't know that I can trust that they can do that.
So Derrick Henry ran for 120 yards last week against the Bengals. And I do wonder, do you see that game and think he's back? Or do you think that you're going to need more to be convinced that Derrick Henry can carry this team like the Derrick Henry of old?
I watched it, and I felt like, yeah, he's back. And then a day later, you're like, I don't know. You know what I mean? Like, it's one of those things where I would like to see more of it. And I'd like to see what they do with the splits, right? Like, at some point, we all know the Spears has been getting a lot more run than we expected. And I do think that there is a certain style of back for Derrick Henry that responds well to getting a big load, like just letting him go in and go to town. So I'm curious to see how they use the running backs moving forward. I still think, and I know you agree, I have to believe you agree, the methodology to how they win a bunch of football games this year is very simple. You just let Derrick Henry be Derrick Henry, and you trust that that wins you football games. I saw it once. If I see it twice, you know, for me, if I see it twice, now I'm saying, okay, everything's back, everything's good, he's got that rhythm back. But I also think that there must be something to what the coaches were trying to do and bringing him along slowly in that process.
You know what's crazy is that he's averaging 3.9 yards a carry, which is more than he was averaging through his first four games when he was averaging 3.72 yards per carry in the 2020 season where he ran for 2,000 yards.
So the interesting nugget on that is if you look at the stats of the last few league-leading rushers, every single one of them has started slow in the first month of the season. I've seen that, but I've asked everybody to explain the why, and nobody can tell me the why. So what I can't figure out, is that just a weird coincidence for the last like 4 years, or is there actual causation to that?
Last one for you. Is there a dominant team in the NFL?
Oh, the 49ers, I think, qualify as a dominant team, yeah. I mean, I don't have a hard time saying that. And it's weird to me because the Chiefs haven't played well, and they've still won a bunch of football games, right? Like, that's weird to me. So I think each of the AFC teams have dominance in them, but haven't necessarily been able to get that dominance to come through. But the 49ers, I mean, at this point, as I've told everybody I can as we prep for this weekend's game, I am so tired of talking about, you know, is Brock Purdy the guy? Yeah, he is. Like, does that mean that any other team's going to be lucky enough to draft somebody with the last pick of the draft and turn him into the guy? No, but it's absolutely unquestionable at this point that the 49ers have exactly what they need at the quarterback position. And by the way, in a very boring way, all they've done every single week is go out and win football games. They don't have a fatal flaw on defense. They have arguably the MVP in McCaffrey. They got a ton of different weapons that are positionless that can beat you in a multitude of ways. And they have a quarterback that might not be the best athlete, but he is smart and he has figured out how to read defenses before the defenses can disguise anything. Like, I'm all in on Purdy at this point being that guy. He is a real deal. Oh my God, we've got our dude quarterback in the NFL. I think the 49ers right now are clearly dominant.
There you go. Jason Fitz, Yahoo Sports, Fox Sports Radio, always joining us on a Wednesday. Appreciate you, Fitz.
Appreciate you, brother.
Yep, Jason Fitz joining us on the program. Titans third behind Jacksonville. I was a little surprised by that. 615-737-1025. I'm about to give something away, but first let me tell you about Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. That's right. Hiller has taken great care of my home for years, and they can do the exact same for you. And I know that because, again, I've used Hiller at my home, and I don't even think about using anybody else. And it is starting to get cooler. I got a little sad looking at the weekend forecast. I think the lake may be gone for the year. And it's time to start thinking about your heating system. You do not want to experience breakdowns when that first temperature drop happens, so it's time to get your heating tune-up taken care of. Lucky for you, it's happy half-off month at Hiller, and tune-ups are 50% off. This month, Hiller is making it easier than ever to tackle necessary home replacements by giving you 50% off select add-on items. And Hiller's work is backed by the Happy OB, your service is free guarantee. That's right, and I know this again because I use Hiller at my home. That's Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. They offer convenient, quick online booking, so select the appointment time that works for you, and boom, get instant confirmation. That's Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical, proud supporters of the Preds, the Vols, and Vandy. Hiller, call the Happy Face truck today, and now I hope you are listening through that because if you're caller 5 at 615-737-1025, you're going to be getting a pair of tickets to see the Predators home opener Thursday, 1 week from tomorrow, October 12th, as they take on the Seattle Kraken at Bridgestone Arena. Again, that's the Preds home opener next Thursday, not tomorrow, but a week from Thursday at Bridgestone Arena. Good luck there. Stillman and Company, 1025, 1063 the game.
The Arizona Cardinals have traded the 33rd pick to the Tennessee Titans. With the 33rd pick in the 2023 NFL Draft, the Tennessee Titans select Will Levis, quarterback, Kentucky.
And just like that, the Titans made Will Levis the quarterback of the future. But I was actually thinking today, about how little fanfare there is for Will Levis, right? Bryce Young plays every game for Carolina, and so far, not off to a great start. Anthony Richardson plays every game for the Colts. He missed the one game with the concussion against the Ravens, but there have been some Superman plays from Richardson. There have been some rockets launched from Richardson, and then there's been some mistakes and some throwing, you know, 8 yards over a guy's head from Anthony Richardson. And C.J. Stroud, so far, so good with the Texans. And I think the Texans, when it comes to coaching, I think the Texans may be, you know, on the right path with Bobby Slowick as their offensive coordinator. But then there's Levis. You don't hear from Levis. You don't hear about Levis. There's really nothing when it comes to Levis other than at 10:30 every Sunday morning, Will Levis is inactive. And Malik Willis is the backup. And I don't even know what that means. But I go back to the fact that the Titans traded up to draft Will Levis 33rd overall. A second-round pick and a third-round pick in next year's draft in order to be able to draft their quarterback of the future. When you take somebody with the 33rd pick, that guy is the quarterback of the future. So this morning I wake up, I turn on Robbie and Rex Road, and all the talk is about all these people out there that want to bench Tannehill, which I find this to be a very odd week to be talking about that, considering that Tannehill played great on Sunday. And I think so far Tannehill's been great this season. And then Paul Kaharsky called it what it was, which is the crazy Titan fans that don't understand that Will Levis is the quarterback of the future simply cannot admit that Will Levis is the quarterback of the future for one very obvious reason.
They can straddle the fence and conceivably win the division and have gotten their quarterback of the future and their running back of the future. Now, a lot of people don't like the quarterback of the future because he's not the UT guy. And you're going to have to get over that. He's not the quarterback you wanted from UT, and he happens to be from a school you don't like that's a rival of UT. You got to get over that.
I mean, he's dead on. Like, that is, he's so true. You're so right. Like, that's what this is. Like, Titan fans, some of them that root for the Vols, don't want to admit that Will Levis is the quarterback of the future because, and I think there's, it's more than just UT, because I think there are a lot of Titan fans that don't root for UT that don't like Will Levis. But I think for the most part, the people that are the most mad are the Chad Withrows of the world that love Tennessee and that just cannot envision in their mind Will Levis ever being good. And I have no idea if Will Levis is going to make it. Because I saw Will Levis take 30 snaps against the Chicago Bears, and I haven't seen Will Levis do anything since then. And so I don't know how Will Levis is doing on the practice field or how Will Levis is doing in the meeting rooms or anything like that. And we'll know in the offseason, because if the Titans have a good season and they don't re-sign Tannehill and they're not interested in getting anybody else, then that means they believe in Levis. If the Titans have a good season and re-sign Tannehill, that means they probably don't believe in Will Levis. You know, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers drafted Kyle Trask in the second round. And it's fine to sit him on the bench behind Tom Brady. And they had him as the third string quarterback, and Blaine Gabbert was the backup. And then Blaine Gabbert left, and Brady retired. And so now they're going to give Kyle Trask a chance to win the job, but they're going to bring Baker Mayfield in. If you believe in him, you don't bring Baker Mayfield in. Washington, same scenario. They didn't bring anybody in to compete with Sam Howell. Atlanta, and they may be regretting this right now, didn't bring anybody in to compete with Desmond Ridder. But Will Levis, I'm just saying, Will Levis is the quarterback of the future. Gator Tim, by the way, texted in and said Anthony Richardson is completing 56% of his passes. How many inaccurate athletic passers have we seen in this league be good after 1 year until defensive coordinators have the offseason to adjust? Stop the false hype. I told Gator Tim that Drew Brees completed 57% of his passes in 2003. And his response was, well, he wasn't inaccurate in college. and 62% was top five percentage in 2003. You said he's 56%. How many guys get better? Breeze was 57%. Cameron says Levis can't even make the active roster. I don't know what that means. And I do wonder if the Titans are ever going to, you know, be asked, like, why is Willis the backup and Levis is the third stringer? And if you ask it like that without any, like, you know, trying to add anything to it, it's kind of a direct question. If they're going to not answer it, they have to plead the fifth on it. Like, they have to basically say, like, you know, well, we don't want to talk about that, as opposed to, like, you know, if you say, is it a comfort level? Is it a, you know, you pad the question, and then they roll with the padding. Elliot says, the college to pro allegiances baffle me. I'm a huge Florida fan and a huge Titans fan, and I hope Anthony Richardson throws six interceptions on Sunday. Dude, I went to Louisville, and I hope Will Levis is the next great quarterback in the NFL. Could not give a rat's ass that he went to Kentucky. Do not care at all. Texter said, I wouldn't say he's the quarterback of the future. Last year, everyone said Malik was the future until they forced him in as a backup, and I see them drafting another quarterback for a third year in a row. If that happens, someone's getting fired. Someone's getting fired. Like, come on now. Jared versus Joe. We don't need to tease it. It'll probably get heated. Especially since Joe called me a liar yesterday. Stillman and Company, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.